In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever tried to explain the real meaning of Christmas to a child? Just pause there for a moment. Have you ever tried to explain the real meaning of Christmas to a child? I put it to you that probably that is not a very easy thing to do. There is so much tradition mixed up with spiritual truth that it's sometimes hard to tell Jesus from Santa Claus and the wise man from the snowman. Recently, I saw a cartoon that illustrated this very point. And in the first frame, a young mother had just finished reading the Christmas story to her young son. The boy had a rather puzzled look on his face as he sorts it all out. And then he thinks to himself, "Let me see if I have got this straight. Christmas is baby Jesus' birthday, but I get the presents." Now the final frame shows him with a rather satisfied grin on his face as he says to himself, "This is a great religion or what? Is this a great religion or what? It is his birthday, but I get the presents." Now, some time ago, I saw a little book called Christmas ABC. And some of you may have perhaps heard about it. You may even have read it. But each letter of the alphabet connects with the biblical story in a little rhyme. For instance, A is for angel. An angel was the first to tell that Christ has come to earth to dwell. You had the D means donkey. A donkey followed Joseph's track and carried Mary on his back. Although, of course, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that there was a donkey on the manger. But certainly, no doubt they must have used a donkey to travel. And then, of course, the O means oxen. An ox awoke and wondered why so many people knelt nearby and so forth. Now, all in all, it was a rather nice little book. And it's good for children to know the ABCs of Christmas. But better still, it's good for all of us to see past the tinsel and the fantasy to the great and significant story of Bethlehem. There is a Bible verse which has been read this morning by Amy that sums up the real meaning of Christmas. And it's actually a little verse which almost can be missed in the midst of it all, and yet it really encapsulates the real meaning of Christmas, and it is taken from that book of Corinthians, and I quote, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Now that sentence really sums up the great truth behind Jesus' birth. And I, just for a very brief moment of time, I really want to sort of highlight three very quick points. First of all, that verse says to us, he was rich. That could be the first A of the little book. He was rich. Now this week, of course, I spent a little bit of time trying to decide who is the richest person I have ever known. Now, some of you know I was in the army, and obviously I have been in the privileged position to meet very famous people by virtue of being in the armed forces. And I have met many wealthy, rich people. However, in spite of how wealthy they were, I know they were not the wealthiest in the world. So I began to do a little bit of investigation. So I began to look into the Forbes list of the 500 richest people in the world. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you the 500. I'm just going to mention just a few, but just suffice to say that really there are people out there who are exceptionally wealthy. Jeff Bezos, or whatever you pronounce it, he's, of course, the creator or the founder of Amazon. And he, of course, is worth $112 billion. Dollars is American, so I'm quoting in dollars here, all right? Bill Gates, any idea as to how wealthy he might be? He's second in the list, by the way, as it stands at the moment. He is 90 billion. And then, of course, you have, well, Mark Zuckerberg, which, is that right? For those who are German, any German people here? No? I don't know. Is German? Is it German? I know he's American, but I'm not very sure whether the surname is German. It sounds German. But anyway, Facebook creator, the one that really sort of made Facebook what it is today, whether good or bad, he is worth just a mere $71 billion. And then, of course, my compatriot from Spain, who is obviously the founder of Zara. Girls, you like Zara stuff? They're ignoring me. I know that some of you do. So Zara is 70 billion. Not bad, isn't it? And then, of course, telecom, of course, is about 61.1 billion. Now, these are very, very wealthy people. Now, I can basically say to you, when I went through that list, I came to recognize two things. First of all, I am not on that list. Now, that is a fact. I am not on that list. Is that not disappointed or what? And two, perhaps not as important, I don't know anyone of those people at all. Now, there are certain classic things about people who are either millionaires or billionaires. And someone actually put together this, which I really like. The average rich person fly first class. Some of you I know, you are not necessarily rich, but you are of well means, so you may be able to fly first class. The medium rich person charter a jet. A super rich may own the jet. The incredible rich owns the airline. And I thought to myself, yes, but Jesus owns the skies. And that's very true, isn't it? The Bible says he was rich. Now think that for a minute. It is speaking of what he had before he left heaven to come among us. All the glory, as the Bible says, all the glory of God radiates from him. Furthermore, he shared glory with the Father before the world began. Then in the Gospel of John, all things were created through him. And then all things hold together in him. And then in Hebrews, he upholds all things. And then he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And then lastly, from Isaiah, before he was born, he was the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Now just consider these person whose name is Jesus. They make him mild, that everybody likes to keep in the crib forever. The Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the desire of all nations, the firstborn from the dead, the Master, the light of the world, the bread of life, the water of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the door. Even he is the resurrection and the life, the chief cornerstone, the captain of our salvation, the Lord of hosts of heaven, author and finisher of our faith, faithful and true witness, lion of the tribe of Judah, king of kings, Lord of lords. Now this is Jesus, by the way. Do you think he was rich? I put it to you that he was. And here is a Christmas verse that tells us the true identity of the babe in the manger. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, just suppose, I know that you are very intelligent people here this morning. You are. Take that as a compliment. So, because you are intelligent, I want you to suppose and think this way. Take the 10 richest men and women who ever lived, and then 10 most powerful rulers who ever ruled, and then the 10 wisest men who ponder life's questions, and throw in the mightiest generals who ever went to battle. Then on that list, add the 10 strongest athletes in every sport, and the 10 most mesmerizing orators, plus the 10 greatest political leaders, and any 10 other great men and women left on the earth. Now, after you have done that, then calculate their accumulated wealth, their power, their influence, their skill, their genius, their wisdom, their insight, and their ability. Whatever the vast sum comes to, let me put it to you, my friend, Jesus had it all while he was in heaven and more. He was rich. And yet, because he loved us, the second point I want to talk to you is that he became poor. Now, what does that mean? He was rich in eternity and he became poor in time. He left heaven for a remote village in a forgotten province to join a despised race, to be born of an obscure teenage peasant girl in a stable, wrapped in rags, placed in a feeding trough instead of a crib. This much we all know, but notice the verb. He became poor. Not he was made poor. That's what happens to us, mere mortals. We are made poor by circumstances. But he himself, of his own free will, became poor. He left the glory of heaven for the saddestness of earth. He stooped to enter the world through a mother's womb. He became a dependent creature. He endured rejection and ridicule. He refused to return evil for evil. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I don't know how many of you may have read a famous essay known as One Solitary Life. Has anyone come across that? One Solitary Life? Or maybe The Incomparable Life by a different title? Let me just quote to you some of that essay. 2,000 years ago, a man was born contrary to the laws of life. He lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He was the child of a peasant woman and worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home, never wrote a book, never held public office. He never went to college and never set foot on a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He possessed none of the usual traits that accompany greatness. He had no credentials by himself. In his infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows, and as if on a pavement, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. And while still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed on a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. And when he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb. Why would Jesus choose to live this way? He was rich, and yet he became poor for you and for me. And I think I'm just going to bring my third point here at this point, that we might become rich. Here is the purpose of Christmas, my friends. He came so that we who were poor might become rich. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the term guilt by association. That means if I hang around with a fellow who has committed a crime, I might be considered guilty also because of my close relationship with him. Now, turn that concept around and you have got Christmas. It is grace by association. All the grace of God is available to me by virtue of my relationship with Jesus Christ. All theologians call this the doctrine of imputation. And basically what it means is that even though we are not very good people by and large, The wonderful forgiveness and nature of God is being given to us totally undeserved because he can. He was rich. He became poor so that you and I might become rich in the knowledge of him and the experiences of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this Christmas was slightly different from what it's been before? Wouldn't it? Get caught up with all the things that really reminds us that the world is not a perfect place, that the world is a sick planet, and that people who live in it need help. Jesus came for that very reason, you know. Maybe today, at the beginning of this Advent season, we may remember that even though he was rich, he became poor so that you and I can be rich in him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for reminding us again of the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the Christmas story. And even though at times we find difficulty in fathom the reality of it, we pray that in the simplicity of it, you will help us, dear Lord, to acknowledge that Jesus is a very special person. He is indeed who he claimed to be and what the Bible preaches about him. May we this morning welcome him among us, not only in our service, but more especially, dear Lord, welcome him into our lives so that we may know the fullness of what he has to offer to us, which is life eternal. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.